Welcome to In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us today via Zoom, Mr. John Jordan, who is the MPP for Lanark, Frontenac, and Kingston. John, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back, Bob. Appreciate the opportunity.
I was a little presumptuous there. May I call you John over the course
Absolutely.
of the interview? Okay, I appreciate that. A number of things that we wanted to cover with you. I think one thing that people always wonder when they hear about an MPP who has been given a portfolio, like you're a junior minister, if I'm not mistaken, in the long-term care portfolio. Is that the correct term for you, sir?
No, the term is parliamentary assistant to the Minister of Long-Term Care.
Bob, okay.
We refer to us as.
So I think
I've been called PA is now what people call me.
All right. Well, I think that when people hear that their MPP has been given additional responsibilities in addition to serving their constituents, they wonder if they're going to stray away from serving those constituents. So we wanted to give you an opportunity right off the top to tell us the kind of work that you're doing for the people of Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston. I know this is all still relatively new to you, and we understand that there is a learning curve, but I guess, you know, looking at your work through that lens, how do you see it going so far?
Well, first of all, Bob, one thing Doug Ford always tells us in caucus is the most important part of our job is the constituent work. And that is the, you know, there's a lot of work to be done here in the riding. And, you know, I've been at this now for 6 months since I first went to Toronto. And there's been a lot of accomplishments for Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston as well. Some of them were already in the pipeline, but, you know, we've got new long-term care home, Stone Ridge in Carlton Place, and also Elmont Country Haven, nice new building that I've had the opportunity to tour through. Arch in Perth will be getting expansion dollars, and Broadview in Smiths Falls as well. So that's all part of the commitment that was made in long-term care for now 60,000 new and reconditioned beds, about 30,000 new and about 28,000 reconditioned beds in the pipeline across the province. And one thing that just came out in the last week is an additional funding to help address the construction, rising construction costs and interest rate costs that these homes are experiencing right now to make sure that we hit our targets as we go forward. So, you know, that's one thing, a few things for this riding in the long-term care, which is the area that I'm most familiar with at this point in time, but hospitals as well. I had the opportunity to be part of the ribbon cutting for the expansion of the Carlton Place Emergency Department and the beginning of construction for that. So there was $18.8 million of provincial money going into that project. And, you know, I have to acknowledge, you know, Richard Kidd and Lori Kavanaugh and their committee for their fundraising efforts, because and certainly the Kavanaugh family for their contributions, and, you know, the Mississippi Health Alliance and the board, because it was certainly a collaborative effort to make that a reality. So Perth and Smiths Falls as well had previous announcements to expand their beds with 8 new patient beds. So that was 1.3 million. So lots going on in the on the healthcare side. As you know, healthcare, one of the main focuses for across Ontario, but certainly important in Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston. And then one of the programs, the education has been a big portfolio as well and a big focus. And it's really education always important, but due to our shortage of labor force, like we now have like over 400,000 positions vacant right now as far as employment goes. So we've had the largest increase in education funding in Ontario's history. Has been with that. So that hasn't left Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston out of the loop either. There was $4.8 million come into Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston for the dual credit secondary school program, which is a real innovative program. For education and also working with our new requirements for employment. So it's an experiential learning program. It allows students to explore pathways in robotics, electronics, carpentry, healthcare, mechanics, and more. And I did receive a quote from Terry Gardner, the principal at SFDCI, regarding that. And he said it represents an outstanding opportunity for students entering trades or trying a course in their area of interest. And it allows them the opportunity to try on college. And many students see that they can be successful. The quote I really liked is that we received from one of the students, and one student remarked, the dual credits program gives him a reason to like school again. And that was from the Granite Ridge Education Center in Charbot Lake. So, you know, another good investment by the government to address some of our most pressing needs right now. So there is a lot going on, and that's you know, when Doug Ford said he's going to get things done, he brought us right back in the summer, and you know, some of our sittings started at 5 a.m. and some of them went to midnight. So there's been a real push to get things done. I should mention another thing that just came through is for the you know, do a shout out to Margot Helen and her hospital foundation for the new MRI in Smiths Falls. But the government just came through with the operating dollars for that MRI. So
fantastic. There's a lot going on, a lot to be proud of for sure. A couple things in there that I want to ask you about. Of course, one of the big issues, and we've seen it thrust into the spotlight here, is the healthcare workers' situation, the staffing levels. I mean, we've heard sort of the broad strokes from the people in government down in Toronto, but you have boots on the ground here and you've seen what's happened here. And I know it's not unique. Like, other places have had to close departments, like they had to close the obstetrics for weeks at a time here in Smiths Falls. And then also we've seen the emergency department in Perth close. You know, it just things like that. The staffing levels are really low. So I guess what is the latest on that situation to try to improve that so that, you know, people can feel like they have a reliable hospital in their own backyard?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. And it is very challenging times for our hospital CEOs and staff to keep everything open and keep appropriate and safe levels of staff available. So a shout out to them for, you know, even when the Perth Emerge had to close, there's, you know, options for people to get to Smiths Falls and moving staff there to make sure there was a safe environment. So job well done. The circuit, and we've known, you know, as you said, problem isn't just specific to our area or even Ontario. It's national, it's actually global. So we've known for a long time that we've got a wave of retirees coming in. I think COVID has certainly contributed to that, for people making their decisions to move into retirement. And then the workforce is short, so there's lots of opportunities for our nurses and other healthcare workers to go to different environments where they may not be subject to shift work and the very difficult environment that they've been working in. They've certainly been our local heroes throughout the COVID. So the Minister of Health, Minister Jones, has certainly put a big focus on healthcare staffing. There's programs for upskilling nurses where they maintain their salary and benefits as they upskill to areas where we need them most critically, such as the emergency departments. We've got areas, lots of programs, tuition-free for PSWs, so we can continue to train and put people into those positions. And I think the most you know, the one that, and those are longer term, because I, you know, I appreciate the facts. It takes time to train people and get them into the workforce. The internationally trained healthcare workers, particularly nurses, you know, Minister Jones has worked closely with the College of Physicians and Surgeons, RNAO, MPAO. to speed up the process of certification and preceptor programs so that people that are Ontarians that are here that were trained internationally can get certified and get into the careers that they wanted to. So there's over, you know, there's a large number of trained people available to us right away. So that's another source. But you know, the bottom line is it's HR, it's workforce, and that's the challenge that we're facing in all sectors, not just the healthcare sector. But
so there's
everything we can.
Yeah, I understand that. So there's really not much of an update because this is all information that we knew before. But it's you know, continued efforts. I'm not saying that nothing's being done. Don't take that way. But it is continued efforts that are.
It's continued efforts and additional investments to continue it going on. We're really just seeing the fruits of the internationally trained coming online now. So that's a benefit to us.
So make it feel better looking at the situation, seeing some of those results coming in, because that is one thing that we heard Pierre Poilievre talk about that just yesterday, how, you know, having those internationally trained workers on the ground as soon as possible safely was a good thing.
Absolutely a good thing. Yeah. A lot of the barriers that were preventing them were, you know, were simply just barriers that could easily be removed, and working in collaboratively with the colleges to make sure that happened the right way. So I think it's excellent.
Another one that, you know, has been pretty sticky around here is the new housing bill. And, you know, I believe it's something like the Build More Homes Faster Act, from the provincial government. And there have been some concerns that have been raised by municipalities that are smaller, like the ones that you represent. What have you heard from them? I know that a number of them have, they've told me that they were going to contact you with their concerns. And have you taken those concerns to Queen's Park, even though the bill's already passed, you know, but there's always room to make a little bit of change here and there to suit, because there's never really a one size fits all solution.
No, that's correct. And I have met with some of the mayors, Smiths Falls and Mississippi Mills in particular. And I think it's important to understand what the bill actually does and how it impacts our area. And one of their main concerns was development charges. And but development charges are still there. They're not going anywhere. They've simply been frozen at the January 22 level. And they've been removed for low income housing, and they've been reduced by 25% for affordable housing. So, you know, that revenue source is still there. It's just not being increased. And, you know, a lot of these decisions are coming out of where the big demands for housing are, such as in the GTA. And the additional cost to someone trying to purchase a house in or build a house in the GTA is on average $116,000, which is probably above most of us thinking about a down payment. So that's what it's trying to address. And at the same time, there's $9 billion sitting in reserve across the province from development charges that have not been allocated to development. That doesn't hold true for this rural area, where a lot of municipalities don't have development charges. Smiths Falls just started having development charges. And those won't be removed. They'll just be simply held fast, January 22 levels. And then when we're trying to incent developers to build low-income housing and affordable housing, they have that reduced cost to building those homes. So that's what the development charge is about. That, and then the other big concern that came out of the housing bills was the conservation authorities. And so people need to be assured the conservation authorities are still there. They still have responsibilities for evaluating our wetlands and determining where homes can be built and where they can't. But there has been changes. And the municipalities can still use them. You know, some of the municipalities are concerned, well, we'll have to hire consultants now. No, you can still use the conservation authorities. They're not going anywhere. But You're not required in certain circumstances where an area has already been approved for development. So delays, like I've had constituents call into this office where delays have been over 2 years to get approval on a severance or get a house completed. So that's what, you know, Minister Clark is trying to address. We need to speed up the development. Last year, we had a record number of starts, 100,000 homes across the province. But it's not enough. We need 1.5 million homes in 10 years. So that's what the status quo doesn't cut it. And that's what Minister Clark is trying to address, the status quo.
We need 1.5 million homes, but a lot of them have to be affordable.
Affordable is right. And that's why it's all types of homes. And that's why the incentives are there to build all types of homes and the requirements to build. And the densification as well. Like one part I really like is that someone with a house can, you know, put a basement apartment in it or an attic apartment, so they can have three units within that footprint, and which would help them with their mortgage. And certainly, as we build our density up, helps with the demand for housing as well. So, lots of innovative solutions trying to address this housing crisis, and all sides of the government, all different parties agree that we're in a housing crisis as the population has grown.
For sure. Listen, John, we wanted to leave things on a bit of a lighter note, and you have said many times that you're open to speak with your constituents, and now you're open to meet with them because there's going to be a holiday open house that is taking place tomorrow, as a matter of fact, that you're hosting.
Yeah, and so this is a great opportunity to put this out again. 1 to 5 tomorrow. At the Oakfield Rugby Clubhouse, and that's on Drummond Concession 2. For those of you who don't know where it is, 2585 Drummond Concession 2 is just kind of a meet and greet. Come on in and have something to eat, a snack, and have a conversation and circle through. So that's our plans for tomorrow. And we'll go ahead whether we know we're going to have some bad weather potentially. But hopefully people can get out safely and have a visit at the Oakfield Rugby Club.
Hop on your snowmobile or your dog sled and make it on over, because I'm sure it's going to be a good time. And the crews will be out there cleaning the roads as much as possible throughout the day as well. So, it should be good, and a tradition that you can start here. And I'm glad that you're going to the Oakfield Rugby Club, because that is it's an absolutely wonderful place, and it's a newer place, and it's an opportunity for you to show support for a local business, especially one that's just started recently.
Yeah, great facility.
No doubt about it. John, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it. We know we're going to do this a few times every year, and I know that our listeners appreciate hearing from you as well. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bob.
You're very welcome. John Jordan, MPP for Lanark Frontenac Kingston, our guest on In Focus today. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.